Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and we've got the return of Coach Nick Caduti. How's it going, Coach?
Hey, what's going on, my man? I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Tell you what, I've talked to some of our listeners who love your videos. I absolutely think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. We were talking off the air earlier. I love it when I learn something. I always learn something when watching your videos. Again, guys, it's for the Bloggy YouTube channel. And, Coach, one of the segments that you did that I was really interested in is you did an explanation of new offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich. He's an advocate of the wide zone read versus what Penn State has been doing, which is the inside zone read. Now, we Penn State fans have been watching this for years, and I'm not sure we even knew what we were watching. First, can you tell us what it was, what the inside zone read is all about before we get to the wide zone read?
You know, inside zone is a fancy version of what the Big Ten football is known to be, and that's just hit you in the mouth. I call it the Revolutionary War. It's my guy versus your guys, and we're gonna root you out, and we're going to win up front. Inside zone is basically trying to create vertical displacement, meaning I'm trying to move the defensive line up the field. And the reality of it is I'm doing this through double teams. And then what we're going to do is we're going to fall off onto the linebackers, whatever gap they fit. And so the idea is to get double teams, to vertically get double teams, to fall off on linebackers and let the running back see and feel his way through the hole. You'll hear coaches talk about slow to the hole, fast through the hole. And that's the idea of inside zone. Now, the problem with inside zone is if you don't have the ability to physically move people, then you're not going to be in a good situation.
If you don't have the advantage of a once-in-a-lifetime running back like Saquon Barkley, who could, again, you showed this in the video, and it, for any Penn State fan, it's just fun to watch anything with Saquon on it. But he would do things that the typical running back couldn't do running out of the inside zone read, correct?
Oh, yeah. He could take a safety, unblocked safety fitting a gap and make him look stupid in a hole, and he couldn't touch him in a phone booth. I mean, what he did was special. I don't know if some Penn State fans realize the generational talent they had playing running back that year.
I think they do. But I think what they were disappointed in, and I want to ask you this question with that zone, it seemed like against some teams, well, you give Saquon Barkley the ball, even at a standstill, he could still make things happen. But it seemed like there were too many times, especially, say, playing Ohio State, where with the inside zone read, if I understand it correctly, there's a defensive end who is unblocked, and it's up to the quarterback. If he sees that defensive end crashing to where the running back would be, he could keep it and go around end and run the ball. Otherwise, he gives it to the running back. But there were some times when did play Ohio State. Well, that defensive end, he meshed with Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley, and the defensive end all got there at the same time, it seemed.
Right. And I think, you know, I think when you don't get that vertical movement on inside zone, that's what causes the whole problem. The play involves movement. You've got to get movement. So that's the whole theory is if I can get double teams, I've got a better chance of four legs and four hands on one guy, moving him up the field. But if you don't, like a team like Ohio State that has stout, you know, five-star defensive linemen, you're not going to physically move them like you're going to move like a Illinois.
Okay, now we have the wide zone read, which Mike Yurcich is an advocate of that. How does that differ from the inside zone that we've been seeing for the last so many years?
So wide zone is different because it's still the idea of double teams. Okay, we're trying to get as many hands and feet on a people as a person as we can. But the difference is we're trying to move them horizontally. So instead of trying to root them out and drive them down the field, now what we're doing is we're going to run our offensive line and we're going to press them to the sideline. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to get the defense running with us, right? Because everyone's in charge of a gap in defense. And so if I move your gap, then that defender has to move with it. So that defender can't just sit in his gap. He has to run with it, which, again, forces movement, which forces those guys to change their gaps, which allows the offensive line the ability to create flow without having to physically dominate somebody. And so what happens in the process is it's still a very downhill play. But what happens is now there's horizontal movement and the running back is going to flow horizontally for 5 steps. And when he gets vertical, he's going to put his foot in the ground and he's going to read the cut just like he would on inside zone. But there's going to be a whole lot more movement up front. So it's not going to look like the Revolutionary War like we talked about. It's going to look like it's going to look like a bunch of dancing bears.
Well, and again, if you get a chance, guys, you got to watch the video because it shows it so much better. We can try to verbalize it, but in watching the video, you do a good job at showing how the running back, he goes at, you call it the ghost tight end, if there were a tight end lined up. So the running back is aimed in that direction, but the misnomer, if you will, is he's not looking to run necessarily wide of the tackle. He's just looking for the spot, and there's multiple opportunities to cut and go vertical, correct?
Yeah, it's the running back is creating flow on the defense by his shoulders turned and by his path. So he's running to a target. Now, what happens to the defense up front is that's what happens. And the offensive line is going to clearly give the running back a decision he needs to make. And so it looks like the play is designed to go outside, but it's not. It's designed to hit inside the tackles. The difference is those tackles have moved.
And they're moving horizontally. So as you said, they're already, their feet are shifting. They're going one direction or another. So now you create a cutback lane for the running back. The other part that I thought was fascinating, this will tie back in to, you know, what we talked about a while ago with Mike Yurcich and his offense and using the H-back or the cowboy like Oklahoma State did. In your examples, it seemed like that H-back was always there leading the way through the hole.
Yeah, and so he can change the way he makes it look by changing who that H-back has. So sometimes he'll lead on the outside defender, outside linebacker. They call him a force defender. Sometimes he'll lead on him. Sometimes he'll go block the middle linebacker and let the tackle get the force defender. Sometimes he'll get the backside linebacker. And so he can use that H-back to influence the defense to do what he wants them to do so that he can do things that he needs to get done. For example, if he wants to throw the RPO behind him, behind a linebacker, then he just pass sets the backside of the offensive line. He inserts that H-back into the linebacker, and that creates a window that the linebacker feels he has to fit, and now he can throw the RPO behind him. It's all about manipulation.
Now, we were talking about the inside zone read that Penn State runs, has been running, and that they read the defensive end, and it's often whether the quarterback hands it to the running back, keeps it himself, runs wide. There have been times when he'll go back and pass also, but it seemed like a lot of times in the Penn State offense, the quarterback ended up running the ball. Now, with this wide zone, who is the quarterback reading, and is it similar? Are they reading somebody? And is it designed where the quarterback could be running again also, or more often than not, if the quarterback pulls, is he passing the ball?
You know, I'll be honest with you, it's not going to be so much when he runs the wide. He'll run some inside zone read, but the wide zone sets that up. It just creates more flow. But I think what you're going to see out of the wide zone is you're going to see a lot more boot, like naked boot, where he'll fake the handoff and he'll wrap around and he'll go opposite where the O-line's going, and then the running back or the receivers will come across the formation, and you'll see a lot of that. The other thing you're going to see is a lot of RPO off of wide zone. Not necessarily quarterback run game, but more of a throwing the ball as the read as opposed to pulling and running.
Now, and is he reading again, like we talked about earlier, before? Is he reading someone like a linebacker more often, or someone in the secondary to decide to pull it and pass the ball?
Yeah, he's got some kind of predetermined read based on the play call. So it might be like a, you know, instead of a defensive end, it might be the outside linebacker. He's got a predetermined read.
So there'll be someone there, so it's doing that. There is still that ability to read one guy, and quarterback will make the decision from that. Now, have you seen, I know you did a video also on John Lovett, who's the running back coming back to transferring to Penn State. Have you seen enough of any of the other running backs at Penn State to judge whether they're good fits for this type of offense, for this specifically, the wide zone?
You know, I haven't, and I'm really excited to see. I wish they would have aired the Penn State spring game so I could have really gotten a feel for it. But, you know, the one thing you're going to learn about wide zone is it's not necessarily the most athletic kid that ends up being the best running back in the system. It's the guy that can feel his way through and get vertical. One of the best wide zone runners, and probably the one running back that everybody will always remember, is Terrell Davis of the Denver Broncos. Alex Gibbs is the grandfather of wide zone. He was the offensive line coach at the time, and that's what they ran. And, you know, if you go back and watch Terrell Davis in the late 90s, you'll see exactly what it looks like. I mean, that was a seventh-round draft pick. And there's a reason why the Denver Broncos always had a 1,000-yard rusher, even when Terrell Davis went down. You know, it's because of the system. It's the same, you know, St. Louis Rams now, San Francisco 49ers, Minnesota Vikings. They're all wide zone teams. And you can see, Tennessee Titans. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the fastest guy to run it. It's about reading it, putting your foot in the ground, and getting vertical.
So it seems like it's that guy who, that one-cut guy, makes that one move. And I imagine this is the fantasy of Penn State fans. I would think Saquon Barkley would be pretty good at this.
Oh, yeah. The problem with Saquon Barkley is he dances so much, you know, because he had to. You know, that's why if you go back and look like Derrick Henry, he is the perfect running back in this system because he doesn't dance. It's put my foot in the ground and go vertical. And that's really what you're going to find. I think the Lovett kid's going to be really good because he's that one-cut, get-vertical guy, and I think he might be a game-changer for Penn State.
Well, I think he'll be good, but if you get a chance to see Noah Kane or Kevon Lee, Lee was the true freshman. Kane was the one who was out most of last year.
Noah Kane can play, and that's a good running back.
Yes, and he's very good getting north and south, so I think he'll excel at this as long as he's healthy. Again, Coach, it went way, way too fast, but that is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully we'll get to Coach Nick again soon. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.